Of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I want to read three verses. Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning with the 8th verse. Hallelujah. Now I feel like I'm right at home tonight. When we're up in Arkansas, we got a little house up there and we get to live in it every now and then. There's a church pretty close by us that act just like you folks do. I mean, they run the aisles and shout and hoop and holler and hallelujah. So I feel right at home here tonight. Amen. So just allow me to be at home, okay? Don't expect any masterpiece. I'm just one of you, and we're just going to hear from the Lord together. Amen. Book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. And we read the word of the Lord in el nombre de Jesucristo. Hallelujah. It's all right if I speak a little Spanish, isn't it? I heard your pastor praying in Spanish, so I guess it's all right. Amen. He's got it in him too, I'll guarantee you. Hallelujah. You just don't get away from it once you've been in it. You just don't get away. Amen. The 8th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the privilege we have to come into your presence. For each individual that's here, we have asked you, Lord, and now we ask you again, let the anointing of the Lord rest upon us. Touch every heart, every individual here. You know what we have need of, and you're able to supply every need. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to draw your attention to a thought tonight. Not all who start finish the race. Not everybody that starts. There's an old saying that says, quitters never win, and winners never quit. Hallelujah. And that is the truth. That might be in earthly terminology, but in spiritual things. It's not everybody that starts. It's not everybody with a shout. It's not everybody with a word that's going to make it all the way through. Jesus talked about it, and he said there would be many called, few chosen. Amen. There's a lot of people who have the opportunity to live for God. They start the race, but somewhere down the road, they stop. Every church that is any age at all, usually there are 3 or 4 times the amount that are in the congregation that are in the city who have been part of the church, who started the race, who they thought they were going to start and finish, but they started and stopped. And tonight I want to encourage somebody. Hallelujah. I know the enemy is very tricky. The enemy is very subtle. The enemy is very deceiving. Amen. And we can purpose in our heart that we're going to make it all the way, but tomorrow the devil can hit us right between the eyes. Amen. With a temptation, with problems, with situations in life. Amen. And we falter. But I want to encourage somebody here tonight. We can make it all the way. We can make it all the way to the end. Amen. You see, those who finish the race have a different mindset. Those who finish the race, those who start and finish are those whose mind. Now the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. So the set of our mind will determine how we're going to live for God. The set of our mind will determine, amen, what we're going to do with our lives, how we're going to live it. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, the set of our mind will determine our eternal destiny. Amen. Now, the mindset of our world is quite different from we who are living for God. They don't think like we think. They don't see the future as we see the future. Of course, they don't get into the Word. They don't understand what the Word teaches us. So their mindset is different. Usually their mind is set on things, treasures. That's right. Jesus told us, he said, don't lay your treasures up here where moth and rust can corrupt, where thieves can break through and steal. We got to put it on the other side. So you see, that's a different mindset. The world doesn't have that mindset. The world is not here tonight in this service because their mindset's different. We drove on the way up from Lufkin this evening, and church after church building sat empty, lights off. No cars in the parking lot. My wife made the comment, said, well, looks like a lot of these churches just have one service a week, and that's it. The mindset is different. There are those who think one time a week is sufficient. That's all I need of God. That's the world mindset. I don't need God. I can do it myself. I don't have to depend on God. But when you're living for God and you understand the stakes in this eternal, amen, living for Him, eternity, when you understand, your mindset is different. Your mindset, you think on different things. The apostle said you need to think on clean things and things that have virtue and purity. You need to think on these things. Our mindset is totally different from this world. The days of hard work and honesty, it's almost a thing of the past. You just don't find many good, honest people. My wife was listening the other day to Dollar Trade. You don't have a radio program here, do you, where you can call in and sell stuff on the... Well, we got one up in our part of the country, and every time we go home, we always listen to Dollar Trade. It's very comical at times. They call in and say, I got these four old cars here I'd like to sell, and I got this and that and the other. I got this old air conditioner, doesn't work, but I want to sell it. But you know, that's the kind of stuff. Huh? You ever heard that? Amen. Well, some lady called in and apparently advertised a little portable garage, one of these metal garages for sale. $350, that's a pretty good price. A gentleman went out, I call him a gentleman, he went out and looked at it, and he said, looks nice, well, I'll think about it. And the elderly couple apparently went to town, and when they came back, their garage was gone. I suppose the man just came back and disassembled it and took it off. You don't find too much honesty nowadays. You don't find very many who like to work a good, long day, honest day's work, because that's the mindset. There are too many today who feel like the world owes them a living. Amen. And they've always got their hand out. What's wrong with working? What's wrong with sweating a little bit? What's wrong with being honest? What's wrong, amen, with laboring by the sweat of your brow? But you see, that's the mindset of many, many people today. Amen. That's it. The scripture teaches us that in the last days, perilous times would come. And there would be lovers, men who were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of themselves. Amen. You see, that's the mindset. But if we are going to start and finish the race. Our mindset has to be totally different. Amen. Our mindset has to be set, amen, upon God and righteousness, right living, hallelujah, doing the right thing. We've got to live for God, amen, with that mentality. I've got to give answer to God for what I do and where I go and what I say. I've got to give an answer to God, because ultimately our deeds will be brought into focus. Amen. But if we've got that mindset, the Bible tells us that as it were in the days of Lot and as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. We understand the scriptures. We understand what the writer's talking about. In fact, that was Jesus who spoke those words. We understand what he's talking about. Amen. In this last hour, in perilous times, it's going to be very difficult. And you say, well, Brother Shrekeyes, do you think it's going to get any better? And my answer is no, it's not going to get any better. Oh, the economy might rebound a bit, but I'm talking about lawlessness. I'm talking about ungodliness. I'm talking about the gates of hell bursting open and dumping forth on this human race all of the filth and the degradation and the ungodliness. I'm talking about perilous times. But we've got to have a different mindset and say, hey, I'm not worried about those things. I'm not worried about what's going on here, because my mind is made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind made up. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'm going all the way. We've got to have the mindset and understand that it's not about now, but it's about then. It's not about here, but it's about there. Oh, praise God. That's the mindset. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to be careful in this world. Got to be careful as we walk through this world. Amen. We've got to have a different mindset when it comes to living for God. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with the internet. But we'd better be careful when we use the internet. It's good for business, for sending a letter and things that we need to do. It's a work machine. But I'm telling you, there are some things out there. If you don't have the right mindset, those things can latch on to you and literally destroy your life, destroy the lives of your family, destroy the lives, amen, of your children. These are things that if you've got the right mindset, it's not going to bother you. It's not going to affect you living for God, as long as you keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind where it needs to be. Amen. And never go to a sitio. Never go to a website, web page that's questionable. You weren't expecting that, were you, from a visiting preacher? But I'm telling you, that's the number one enemy. Number one enemy is the internet. It's even worse than television was. Worse than video. I mean, it's got a lot of tentacles in there, and it can reach in and grab you. It can destroy you. We have seen people in our own churches who have been destroyed because of their mindset. They allowed the enemy to come in to destroy their minds and to guide them into areas that they should not have gone into. Let's keep our minds on him. Let's keep our minds. We've got a different mindset. Hallelujah. Those who start and finish the race. We've got some things in common. Amen. We've got a different mindset. And then we've got a vision of a better place. Hallelujah. If you're going to finish the race, you're going to have a vision of a better place. We sing the old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah. My mom, until she was, until she got older, she's still alive, but her voice is cracking now. And 86, almost 87 years of age, she used to sing a song. It's worth it all just to be his child, to serve him through the last long mile. It's worth it all, hallelujah, just to feel his power. Well, I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it all. But when you've got a vision of another place, you've got a vision of another place. Abraham, when the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, he said, I'm going to send you, I'm going to show you, amen, a land, a promised land. Abraham, I want you to come, I want you to go. Amen. And I'll show it to, I'll give it to you. It's for your inheritance. It's for your descendants. I'm going to give it to you. Abraham could have said, well, Lord, why don't you just give me a map? And when I get around to it, I'll make my way over there. I don't have time to do it right now, Lord. Just give me a map. But the Lord said, get up from your kindred. Go. It's time to leave. Amen. You see, we've got to have a vision of another place. We've got to have a vision of a better place. Hallelujah. If heaven is like this old world, friend, it's not going to be worth going to. But I'm telling you, it's different. God took 6 days to make this earth. And can you imagine what he has prepared for his church? 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again. I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you imagine what he's been able to do in 2,000 years of time in preparation for his bride, his church? I've got a vision of a better place. I've got a vision of another place. I've got a vision. Hallelujah. Abraham was 75 years of age when God called him. Yes. He lived to be 175. 100 years. During his lifetime, he built at least 7 altars. And he went back to some of them again. And he sacrificed to the Lord. And he lived for God. It was a lifestyle. You see, if you've got a vision of another place, this old world's not going to affect you. You're going to live for God in accordance to his word. You're going to live for God because you love him. And you desire to please him. Hallelujah. A lifestyle of living for God. Oh, yes. I know there will be those, even in your own family, that will criticize you because you are so faithful to the house of God and to the things of God. And they'll say a lot of stuff against you, especially if they haven't known about Pentecost and have never experienced anything in the line of receiving the Holy Ghost and the touch of God. And they can say a lot of cruel things against you, but if you've got your mind made up, if you've got a vision of another place. Hallelujah. No, it's not going to get any better on this old earth. How can you say that, Brother Shrekeyes? Because that's what the word teaches us. Perilous times. Evil men wax worse and worse. And if you are a student of prophecy, I'm sure Brother Grissom has taught some prophecy lessons around here. Amen. I'm telling you, we understand that we are living on borrowed time right now. We are living in the last days. We are living just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ for his church. Amen. We refer to that as the rapture of the church. In Spanish, it's a little bit clearer. It talks about the catching away of the arrebatamiento. Hallelujah. That means a snatching away. Hallelujah. From this old world. Our God is coming again. Jesus Christ will appear in the clouds, and he's going to take his church out of here. Now you see, that's the hope of the church. But do you know what the hope of this world really is? Is it all right if I take my jacket? We have heard world leaders talk about Armageddon, talk about Antichrist, mention of the mark of the beast, tribulation, and they don't have a clue how close it is on the face of this earth. They don't understand what we know from Scripture, that the Apostle Paul said, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that man of sin be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the spirit of his coming. I'm here to tell you that we are so close to the coming of the Lord for his church, and then immediately after he takes us out of here, all hell will belch forth on this world, and all of the events of the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel are going to tie together so quickly. In 7 short years of time, millions of people will lose their lives. Famine, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. I'm telling you, there is no end to what's going to transpire. But I don't have my sight set on this old world. I've got my sight set on a better place. I've got my sight set on that heavenly Jerusalem. You say, well, Brother Strike, ask what's going to happen if a person is not ready for the rapture of the church. You'll just stay here. You'll just begin going through it with everybody else. But I don't plan on being here. I'm planning on leaving. I got leaving on my mind. Hallelujah. Is that the lights of home I see? I'm telling you, my friend, we're getting so close to it, so close to the coming of Jesus Christ. There's no time to quit. There's no time to lay down your sword. There's no time, amen, to sit down on the job. It's time to be full of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's time to be persistent. It's time to live for him with everything we've got in us. Hallelujah. Yes, his coming is near. His coming is near. But I'm not concerned with what's going to happen here. Now, Jesus talked about it. He said there would be earthquakes in diverse places, different places. Costa Rica just had a 6.1 or 2 earthquake. Our missionaries emailed and said, pray for us, pray for the people. Several have lost their lives, mudslides, homes destroyed, but that's nothing compared to the tsunami. That's nothing compared to earthquakes that have taken 75 to 200,000 people's lives. Jesus said it would happen. And if you get your mind set, if you look around here and your only vision is what's transpiring here, it can be very, very disturbing. And a person can get really down in the mully grubs when you see it all happening. But if you keep your mind, if you keep your eye, amen, on the goal, keep your eye on the finish line. I'm telling you, the finish line is just right around the bend. Now, the devil would like to discourage you and say, well, it's really not worth it. He's delayed his coming. Why don't you go on out and have a good time? And surely in the world you can have a good time. I mean, it's the pleasures of sin are not just all bad. There are some good things you can enjoy out there, but it's just for a short time. Hallelujah. I'm looking for the glory world. I'm waiting for the sound of the trumpet. Oh, praise God. You say, well, what's it like? Well, I can't really tell you personally. I stood at my father-in-law's bedside a few years ago. We made it back from Honduras just a few short days before he was taken on. 54 years of age, had a liver ailment that finally took his life. A man of God, had started 5 churches and had preached for 35 years. He had seen many miracles in his ministry, miracles of healing, but yet he didn't get healed. How do you explain that? Sovereign God, and it's time to take him home. But I'm telling you, as we stepped into his hospital room that night, and you would see him, he would just be looking around, and we'd say, Daddy, what do you see? He said, oh, can't you see them? Boy, you talk about cold goosebumps going up and down your back. He's just laying in that bed and just looking around. What do you see, Daddy? Well, angels. What are they doing? Oh, they're singing a song I've never heard before. Hallelujah. And he talked about things he saw just on the other side of the veil. He wasn't too cognizant of what was going on around him, but he could sure see on the other side. Hallelujah. Ministers would come and go in and pray for him, and they would leave, said, my, what a presence of God is in that room. Hallelujah. I told him I was there the night that he passed away. Early in the morning, I kept checking his blood pressure, and it kept falling and falling and falling until finally my sister nudged me. She said, she was a nurse, and she said, damn, it's almost over. He's just about gone. And I kept on believing that God was going to do it, but God took him. But I stood by his bedside, and as he was breathing his last, I said, Daddy, are you going? And he just shook his head. And I told him, I said, you wait for us. You wait by the eastern gate. You wait just inside the gate, because we're coming. Your family's coming. We're going to make it all the way. I've got a vision of another place. I've got a vision of a better place. I've got a vision, hallelujah, of eternity with streets of gold, gates of pearl. I've got a vision of that beautiful place that Jesus said he was going to prepare for his people. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Not all that start finish the race. Those who have determined in their heart they're going to finish, we have another thing in common, and that's a deep love for God and his truth. You know, there are some who are selling out so cheap nowadays. Some who come through our churches, and when we begin to preach holy living and right living and doing things correctly, they say, oh no, it's cheaper down the street. I can get it cheaper down there. I can live like I don't have to change if I go there. I got to change if I stay here. They're selling out so cheap. They're selling out. Amen. Even some churches are sliding away from the truths of the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I do believe the Scripture teaches us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And I'm not here to preach on holiness tonight. Your pastor's well capable of doing that, and I'm sure he does. Amen. But what I'm saying to you is, God is a holy God. God expects holiness from his people. If we're going to a holy city, we're going to have to be holy. We're going to have to live for God in holiness and have that deep love for the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said, forsake not the old ancient landmarks. Now, in our world today, there is what is referred to as the emerging church. I read an article in one of our ministers' magazines just the other day, and it was referring to this. The emerging church. The emerging church is a group of younger men. And there's nothing wrong with young men going into the ministry, but if you forget the old landmarks, if you forsake the old landmarks, if like Rehoboam, Solomon's son, he wouldn't listen to the old men of Israel. He listened to the young men, and he divided the kingdom. He destroyed what David had built up and Solomon had built up because he wouldn't hear. But there are those who are taking their churches and their ministries into the thought that, well, there's really nothing permanent, nothing solid. Truth has a way of moving just a bit to accommodate, and we have to merge with that, and we have to slide along with them. I'm here to tell you, my friend, we don't have to slide with anybody. We can stand with Jesus. We can be strong in the faith. Hallelujah. We can be strong in this truth. Love God, love his word, and be strong. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Hallelujah. There's another thing we have in common. Those who start and finish, we never look back. We never look back. Now, it's healthy every now and then just to remember the pit that God dug you out of. Not with desires, not like Egypt. The Bible said they turned back to Egypt in their heart, like Israel. Turned back to Egypt in their heart. Amen. They remembered the flesh pots. They were in slavery. They were under the harsh whips of the Egyptians, making the pyramids, making brick, and every day. But yet they turn back to Egypt after God had set them free. I cannot, for the life of me, Brother Grissom, I cannot fathom an individual that comes out of the drug world, that comes out of an alcoholic background, that comes out of the vices of this world, and they come to an apostolic service, and God gets a hold of their heart. They find their way to an old-fashioned altar, repent of their sins, cry out to God. God baptizes them with the Holy Ghost, and there's joy unspeakable in their life. For a while. I can't understand a person after they have tasted of the heavenly things and then they turn back and begin. The Bible compares it to a dog who returns to its own regurgitation. Dog eats too much, he'll go empty it out over there, and after a while he goes right back to it. Like a pig. You can take a pig out of the mire and the wallow and wash it down and put a bow around its neck. But when you turn it loose, where does it go? Right back. That's human nature. Human nature is like water. You pour water on top of a mountain, you know where it goes? It finds the path of least resistance. And it'll go as far down as it is possible to go. That's what human nature will do. That's what human nature will do to people who are controlled by the power of Satan, controlled by the power of sin, controlled by desires of this world, controlled by their lust. This is what will happen to them. They'll find the least resistance and go the furthest down and away from God that they can possibly get. Never look back. Never look back. Hallelujah. Never look back. Not too long ago, a young man that we had much confidence in, young preacher, prayed, fasted, lived for God, but not too far back. Fell in immorality, lost his ministry, perhaps even has destroyed his life. I haven't heard from him for a while. But I'm telling you, friend, that's what will happen. You've got to have that mentality. I will never turn back. You see, this world is like the spider's web. That spider spins the web. And when a little insect flies into it, it sticks to them. They try to get out, and the more they try to get out of it, the worse they get entangled. And of course, the spider is there to come and inject them with venom. That's what the world, that's what the devil will do. If you get too close to it, if you partake of it just a little too much, if you go where you ought not to go, if you begin doing things you ought not to do, it's like that old spider web, and it'll latch a hold of you. It's a sticky substance, and you can't get away. The devil, when he gets his grip on you, it is almost impossible to be set free. Only the power of God is able to release you and to deliver you and set you free from the powers of hell that would destroy your life and your mind and your home. I'm telling you, this is what the enemy desires to do. Don't ever look
back. Thank God every day that you've got truth, that God has set you free, that He has delivered you from a world of sin, that you're no longer under the influence of whatever it may be. You're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, these folks are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. That in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why we act crazy. We're drunk on the Spirit. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen anybody really drunk on the Spirit? One of my aunts, they tell me that when she was a teenager, she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was as drunk could be for 3 days. Couldn't speak English. Every time she'd start to speak, it'd be in other tongues. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, when you get what I've got, when you get the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, it's going to transform you. It's going to do something for you. It'll give you something down deep in your soul. Hallelujah. It'll let you hold of you. Amen. Don't give up. Don't turn around. Don't look back. I am intrigued by a story I read years ago in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Mr. John Fox has a whole book of martyrs, people who gave their lives, and beginning with the disciples, the apostles, and how they were killed and where they went in the world, African and Europe and Asia, and they were killed in many different ways. But I read the story, I believe, if my mind serves me correctly, it probably was in the 17th or 18th century. And it tells the story of a band of believers. And they had taken all of their clothes off. It was in wintertime, and they forced them out on a solid lake of ice. And the guards all around the edge of that lake had their big bonfires, and they were just waiting for that little group of Christians to die, just to starve to death and freeze to death out there. And there they were, warming themselves by the fire, when one young man from that group decided he couldn't take it anymore. And he staggered and stumbled and crawled until he got to the nearest bonfire. And he told the guard, he said, "Sir, I will recant. I take it back. I can't take any more." And that old guard began to pull off his jacket, began to pull off his own clothing, and put them around this young man. And he told him, he said, "Young man, you don't know what I just saw the moment you left that group to make your way to the bank and to this fire. I saw an angel with a golden crown descending from heaven, ready to place it on your head. I'll take your place. I'll trade with you. I'll take your place. Here's my clothes. Just go ahead. I'm going out. I'll be one of that little band." Don't quit. I'm telling you, we're right in the home stretch now. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you in this last hour. Don't allow the enemy to detour you. Don't allow the enemy to call your attention. Hallelujah. But be purposed in your mind. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Jesus thought so much about it that he mentioned, he said, "Remember Lot's wife." The angels were taking them out of the city. Gave them instructions, don't look back to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot's wife, somewhere along the way, turned and looked back. And the Bible said she became a pillar of salt. That was it. Oh God, help us in this last hour. Help us to keep our focus. Help us to keep our mind right. Help us to keep our thinking right. Help us to keep our trust and confidence. Hallelujah. Don't be as Judas, who was one of the 12. He was chosen to be one of the 12. He was the treasurer of the group. saw many miracles that took place. And if the word is correct, he was sent out two and two with 70 of them. And they performed miracles. He was one of them. But yet there was a moment in time when he said, no, I'm going a different route. I'm going a different route. I'm going to do something different. Sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And then the condemnation was so strong that he went out and hanged himself. A young man by the name of Demas, Paul talked about him. He traveled with Paul. He saw the victories that Paul had in city after city. Amen. How God delivered them and provided for them. But yet he writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What's out there in the world? There's not anything, heartache and suffering and pain and misery. There's nothing out there. Oh, would to God that we could be as the Apostle Paul when he wrote to Timothy and he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's a crown laid up for me, but not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. Hallelujah. History does not tell us, but tradition tells us that Peter, when they came to get him to crucify him, he requested that he be crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same position that my Lord was crucified in. You talk about men who had their mind made up. You talk about men who saw a different place, a better place. You talk about men who were decided. Amen. I'm telling you, the winners of the Bible, the winners of today, this very day and hour, are those faithful ones. I know there's adversity. I know there's hunger and trial and pain and all kinds of setbacks. But if you've got your mind made up, hallelujah, if you've stated it in your heart, I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to make it to the end. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. Amen. I'm going all the way. 2008 is history. You can't change anything that happened. That's right. This is the end of it. Goodbye, 2008. If we were in Honduras at the stroke of midnight, December 31st, they have old men. They stuff a pair of jeans and a shirt full of straw, and inside of that there's firecrackers. And at the stroke of midnight, they light the old man. That's the old year, and he starts burning, and all those firecrackers just begin exploding. This is quite an experience. In the morning, you can sweep up the paper off the streets from firecrackers that popped during the night. Amen. That year is over. Amen. There may be things that the enemy deceived you with. There may have been some doors that you left open for the enemy to come back in. Hey, let me tell you, friend, the way to get victory over the devil is close the door. Don't let him back in. Hallelujah. Jesus talked about the man who was delivered of the devil. And the Bible said the devil went out roaming to and fro. And when he came back to see, the house was empty. And he went and got seven worse than himself. And they came and lived in that house, and the last state of that man was worse than the first. If you leave an open door, the devil will find it. The thief knows where the open door is, and he'll come in, and he will deceive, and he will corrupt, and he will destroy. So we've got to close those doors. If he tempted you last year, close that door on that temptation. Close the door, amen, on the very thing that wants to destroy your life. Purpose in your heart, as Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God. Make a purpose in your heart. Oh, it's almost rapture time. This is rapture generation. Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the parable of the talents. And he said to the unprofitable servant, cast him into the fire. But to that faithful servant, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. Are you looking for the joys of the Lord? Eternity with Jesus Christ. Leave this old world behind. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Don't quit. Let's stand tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, don't quit. I'm going to make it all the way. I've made up my mind. Got my mind made up. Got my foot on the rock. And I've got a vision of another place. I've got a vision of another place. I got a vision of another place. What's your vision like tonight? Are you just seeing what's around you? You just planning for tomorrow? I'm not planning for tomorrow. I'm planning for eternity. Hallelujah. I'm not just planning right now. I'm planning for there. Oh, praise God. I'm getting ready to go because He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Yeah, Brother Shrek Eyes, we've preached that for 50 years. I know. I've preached it for 42 years. But I'm telling you, it's 42 years closer than it was when I started. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The signs of the time are telling us loud and clear. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and shall not tarry. I'm telling you, our Lord Jesus is coming for people who have made up their minds. I've started this race, and I'm going to finish this race. I'm going all the way with Jesus. Devil, you're not going to stop me. If I fall, I'm going to get up again. You're not going to destroy me, because I'm going to put my hand in His hand. He's going to help me. He's going to be my strength. He's going to be my strong tower. I'm going to lean on Him. I'm going all the way. I've got my mind made up. You got your mind made up. Amen. You ready? You ready tonight to go? If the Lord were to sound the trumpet, are you ready to go? Oh, man, I'm ready to go. Come on, Lord Jesus. Come take your church out of here. Come take your people out of here. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? Are you prepared for His coming? You said, no, Brother Shrekos, I'm not ready. Well, you can get ready this very night, this very hour. Amen. Because the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord has been here since prayer meeting tonight. Amen. The power of God is in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has the enemy been pulling on you? Have you gotten a little too close to the spider web? I'm telling you, friend, here's a place you can make it all right. Hallelujah. You can get right with Him. You can make everything all right. You can make up your mind afresh. Make up your mind again. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's gonna yes. be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all.
Oh, yes.
It's gonna be worth it all.